Chapter 4. Nikki. Whilst pondering the immortal conundrum, what do you do after the orgy? Nikki is informed by an apocryphal messenger that Vince has already found the answer. When I came home after the shout tour, I didn't know what to do with myself. We had been on the road for 13 months, and in that time, I had lost my girlfriend, our home, and most of my friends. I was sleeping on a shitty mattress and eating out of a styrofoam ice chest. I felt lonely, depressed, and crazy. This wasn't how rock stars were supposed to live. So Robin Crosby, a photographer named Neil Zlozauer, and I decided to go to Martinique. It was a surreal trip because I had been on another drug binge and was too incapacitated to do anything for myself. Someone took me to the airport and put me on a plane to Miami. Then someone put me on another plane. Then someone moved me through customs. And the next thing I knew, I was in a pool bar on a beautiful island with topless women everywhere. It was the closest thing I'd seen to paradise in my lifetime. After a week of partying in Martinique, we flew into Miami. As I walked off the plane, a tall man in a blue blazer came running up to me. "Nikki! Nikki!" he yelled. "Your singer is dead." "What?" I asked. "Vince died in a car crash." My knees went weak. I grew dizzy, and I collapsed into a chair. This wasn't part of the plan. This wasn't supposed to happen. What was going on? I hadn't read any papers, watched TV, or talked to anyone while I was away. I walked to a payphone and called management. "There's been an accident," Doc said. "Oh my God, so it's true." "Yeah," he said. "Vince is pretty fucked." "I'll say he is. He's dead, dude." "What are you talking about?" Doc asked. Then he told me the story. Razzle was dead, Vince was in rehab, and everyone was depressed, confused, and upset. I took the next plane to Los Angeles and went to the shit shack I shared with Robin. I called Michael Monroe and Andy McCoy from Hanoi Rocks, and we all disappeared into a strange, intense friendship, bonded in death, drugs, and self-destruction. Michael would sit around all day, combing his hair, putting his makeup on, taking his makeup off, and then putting it on again. "You may really be a transvestite," I told him one day after I went to look for him in the bathroom at the Rainbow, only to discover that he was using the ladies' room. "No, man," he answered as he smeared foundation on his face. "I just like the way I look." "But that doesn't mean you have to use the ladies' room." "I always use the girls' bathroom," he told me, "because whenever I use the guys' room, I get into a fight because someone calls me a fag for putting makeup on in the mirror." I had disapproved of shooting cocaine since the days when Vince was hanging with Lovey and showing up at concerts in a bathrobe. But with the guys from Hanoi Rocks, I started combining it with my heroin all the time. I didn't even call Mick or Vince. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had fulfilled a lot of my dreams with Shout at the Devil. It was the orgy of success, girls, and drugs I had always wanted. But now, I was confronted with a new problem. What do you do after the orgy? The only thing I could think to do after the orgy was to have another one, a bigger one, so that I didn't have to deal with the consequences of the last one. Vince was on the news every day, and I was so junked out I'd ask, "Why is Vince on the news?" And someone would say, "That's for the manslaughter charge." And I'd just say, "Oh yeah," and shoot up again. Vince was my bandmate, my best friend, my brother. We had just finished the most successful tour that a young band could possibly have had that early in its career. We had experienced some of the best times together. We had shared everything, from my girlfriend to Tommy's wife to the room service groupies. And I didn't call him. I didn't visit him. I didn't support him in any way whatsoever. I was, as usual, only interested in indulging myself. Why wasn't I there for him? What was the reason? Were the drugs that powerful? When I thought about Vince, it wasn't with pity. It was with anger, as if he was the bad guy and the rest of the band members were innocent victims of his wrongdoing. But we all did drugs and drove drunk. It could have happened to any of us. But it didn't. It happened to Vince, and he was sitting in rehab contemplating his life and his future, while all I could do was sit at home and contemplate the next hit of cocaine to send up my veins. Tommy was out partying at the Rainbow with Bobby Blotzer of Rat. Mick was probably sitting on his front steps nursing a black eye, and Motley Crue was dead at the starting gate.